Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. Rabbi Beryl Wein, it's good to see you back in the studio. What parsha are we talking about this week?
The parsha is Vayishlach, and it's good to be back, Elliot. The parsha Vayishlach is really the first instance of Jewish power, let us say. Even though we had in the previous parshias that our father Abraham conducted a war, but that war was to free the people of Sdom and to redeem his nephew from captivity, to redeem Lot. And it was, the Torah does not describe casualties, or it seems from the Torah that it was a surprise attack, that the enemy fled from it, and it was not necessarily a very violent occurrence. This week's parsha, after Shechem and Hamor violate Dinah and kidnap her from the house of Yaakov, and the brothers Shimon and Levi take matters into their own hands, and they strive for revenge. And the Torah describes the revenge, that they tricked the people of Shechem into circumcising themselves, and then when they weren't feeling so well, then they came upon the town and they slaughtered everyone, they massacred everyone. Yaakov Avinu's not happy with it. He's not happy tactically, because now all the other tribes will rise against him. He's not happy morally that such a thing should happen. The brothers answer him, "Achazono yases achoseinu. Shall we let such a thing pass, that our sister should be treated as a harlot and nothing should be done?" And they point out to him, according to the Midrash and all of the commentators, that according to the laws of the country and according to the Noahite laws, the people of Shechem were liable for death for their behavior, for their acquiescence, for the type of society that they ran, that these things were acceptable. We find that Yaakov on his deathbed doesn't forgive Shimon and Levi.
I recall we talked about that.
Right. He still doesn't forgive them for what they did, because he felt that the exercise of such power and violence was wrong. So here it's really Hobbesian choices here. You're left with a terrible dilemma. On the one hand, not to do anything, to roll over and play dead, to be the complete pacifist. And the Jewish people cannot survive under such a circumstance. The world would destroy us. We saw in our past century what it is when we're defenseless and when you have to rely upon others who are supposed to try and save you but never quite get around to it. On the other hand, to become violent and that's the way, that's our way of life. I mean, to imitate Esav and not to be Yaakov is also not a very good state to be in. So we're always looking here for the balance. We're looking here for when and what. Now, there's a famous line in the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's great philosophical work, in which he has this discussion between the rabbi and the king of the Khazars, which eventually leads to the Khazars converting and becoming Jewish, etc. But there, the rabbi states, look what a wonderful people we are. We don't kill anybody. We don't do anything to anybody. And look at all the other religions. They slaughter people. And so the king of the Khazars answers him. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi uses that as the vehicle. He says, well, that's because you don't have any power. The day will come that you'll have power, you'll see you'll be just like everybody else. So that's the test. And it's a difficult test, especially now in the situation that we find ourselves. So the Talmud says that if someone is coming to kill you, you get up earlier and kill him. And yet the Talmud places the highest emphasis on human life, on everybody's human life. So that's the those are the poles, that, right? That's the balance.
Right, right.
And I think that that's the struggle that we all have to maintain. It need not be in terms of life and death, but in terms of attitudes and in terms of how we look at the world, etc., that we always have to have a balanced picture. We always have to try and find ourselves not on one end and not on the other. And we hope and pray that we should not be forced to use force. We should not find ourselves in such a situation. But the words of Shimon and Levi ring down the corridors of history, that we're just not going to let it happen. And so therefore, it only points out how relevant everything in the Torah is to our own lives and our own situation. The Torah is not a history book. It doesn't tell us ancient stories. The Torah here is to cast insights into our own life. So the Torah casts this dilemma in this week's parsha, and it leaves it there. Mm-hmm. It leaves it there. The Torah didn't decide it for us. And we're left with finding our own way. So I hope that we will. God willing, we'll be able to strike the right balance and come out of the situation correctly.
Rabbi Beryl Wein on the continuing search for the golden mean.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.